Hey, up, these cameras, what are they? Balloons everywhere. What's the occasion?
Oh, it was Harper's birthday, but now it is not right.
That... I want to know how you've got a child that age and you've still got balloons, even non-flat. Like, how are they still even there? Like, if I knew, I think of as Margot, they'd all be popped around the room, thrown outside.
Oh, there was plenty more, but they have been decimated and attacked already. So
they love a balloon, don't they? The kids love a balloon.
Right, there we go. I think that's a bit better.
Luke has fixed himself up.
I did.
Sharp.
I sorted myself out with this.
Way up. It's not that sort of podcast, mate. Come on. Easy, Tiger.
So, we are on the eve of, well, coming close to one of the big championship races of the year, Spartan Race World Championships, Jack.
Mate, I have to say, if you'd asked me a month ago, I would have gone, yeah, I've been to the desert, not bothered about going again, doesn't interest me. I'm looking at all these Instagrams now and I'm going, shit, I wish I was at Abu Dhabi. It looks awesome.
Yes,
I've got a bit of FOMO going on, that's for sure.
No, definitely. We were there last year and it was pretty amazing. One of those events that you kind of had to be at to kind of take in all of how great the event was. There was a lot of stuff coming out about the event, blah, blah, blah. But when you were there, when you were racing in the desert, it was pretty amazing, to be fair. Great location.
Yeah, I was saying this to someone else that went, actually, and I was saying, look, I genuinely do think this year will be a lot different to when we went. You've got the added fact of they've had a year to sort of get things right, test things. I think there'll be a lot of changes. I think, like, definitely locations obviously change, so I think there'll be a difference there. I think the race course, obviously, the distance is different. They're doing a super, which is very interesting. We could talk about later. I think it's a lot flatter, so that's going to be a big difference. I don't think it will quite have that, oh my God, wow factor as it did first time, only because I generally did think we lived it like there with the locals, like, you know, ragging their cars around the desert, you know, things like that. I generally thought we got the complete how it would have been if we would have been a local, whereas I think this year, I mean, not taking anything away from what's going to be happening, because I'm sure it would be epic, but I do generally think this year won't have quite that. It'd be a bit safer, you know, like you won't panic for your life in the middle of the night this time in a tent.
Yeah, I think Spartan are probably going to make it so that it will be a lot safer. There will be a bit of differences to probably accommodation and that kind of stuff. Like you say, it's a little different location this year. It's closer to the city. It's closer to Abu Dhabi. So it should be a lot better. My camera is having an absolute mess right now.
Luke is having a nightmare.
Just... I had it nicely set up.
It's the second episode. Leave him alone. He's new to this.
I had it nicely set up for so long and then it's just like died on me. So I'm going to try and sort
something out. Twice.
Literally. But yeah, so I think you might be right. There might be as not an amazing kind of atmosphere because it is the second time going to this location. But I think it still will be pretty epic.
Yeah. I think just even like, I mean, I was watching some Instagrams of the people that go in for first time over. Bloody hell, Connor Wickham. I was watching his Instagram. Just a shout out to Connor. Good luck. And he's out there with Mitch, isn't he? Mitch, sorry. I was watching their Instagrams. And I do think if it's your first time, there is that still that, oh my God, I'm excited. And I think it's their first world champs as well.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, anywhere a world champs is going to be, you know how it is exciting. You know, especially when you're going abroad to do it, you've had the flight over there, you know, all those sort of different, the culture and things like that. I generally do think that still gives you that massive buzz.
Massively,
And looking at what Spartan have put on, the course looks epic, the venue looks epic, you know, they've got all those still things that we had, like the coffee and all the locals doing like the market style thing, which it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that added for me, because when you've done your race pre and post, you know, especially like as our race was the Sunday, wasn't it? So we had all Saturday to, no, sorry, the way around, it was Saturday. So we had all Sunday to chill and Friday to chill and things like that, you know?
Definitely.
That helps and gives you that added bit of like, you know, atmosphere, if you like. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same this year, for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. If it's your first championship or your first big like event, it is a huge kind of thing. Especially, I kind of guess some of these races that people don't do every day. Not every day you're going to go to a massive desert and run a race. So it is going to be a big thing for a lot of the athletes. So yeah, pretty excited for those guys. Excited for them to get a good taste, especially more UK guys getting world championship experience, getting over to those big events. It's great to see.
How do we think it's going to go down then, Luke? Let's go for the course first, because obviously they've chosen the Super. Why do you think Spartan did that? What's your opinion on the Super rather than the Beast?
Well, from what we know now is they are moving a lot of things shorter anyway, per se the 3K announcement. So I think maybe the fact that they're going to be doing shorter events, it kind of makes sense to have their championship be a short race. We know next year or in the future there will probably be a 3K championship.
Yep.
That's already on the literature somewhere in their website and stuff. So, yeah, interested in a super 10K kind of event. I think it's going to be ridiculously quick.
Yeah. Looking at the course as well, just from what I've seen on like Steve's Instagram and Spartan's Instagram, it looks quick. I mean, we had some dunes to climb up. Those boys haven't got anywhere near, from what the looks of it is. It looks like it's got more dunes and hill height at my front door than it does over there. So it looks like it's going to be stupidly fast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think I wouldn't take away from the sand running. That's going to be tough. No, depends what kind of, like, how deep that sand is, because it will make a bit of a difference to the race. But it was pretty quick last year in the event. I think it's only going to be just as quick this year. So it's going to have quite a big effect. I think if you think last year, Ryan Atkins won the men's race in 2 hours and 13.
Yeah.
On those dunes, that sand, I think.
Are we going to go half that then? Are we going to say close to the hour?
Yeah, I think it's going to be about an hour. You think 10K with obstacles, with sand.
Not quite as steep. It's going to be a lot flatter.
Not quite as steep, flatter. I think, yeah, you're looking at an hour, hour and 10, somewhere around that.
Yeah, I think so too. And do you think, I'm just going to jump straight in there, we generally think there's a potentially three, from what we know of who's going, because we don't know complete official list. Do we think there's going to be a three-man race in the male side and then a one-lady race in the female side?
Potentially, yeah. I think if we look at the men's first, Ryan Atkins is obviously out there.
You can't Sergi. Write him off. You just can't write Ryan off. Like,
he's the favourite. He's got to be the favourite.
I don't think he is.
Don't think he is? Defending champion?
I think Vijay Jones is the favourite.
VJ, okay, yeah.
I think VJ's going to win. I hate to say it, because I have love for Ryan, obviously, but I generally think the shorter distance is going to suit VJ. I think the only thing that will give Ryan a slight advantage is, one, he's been there, two, he's defending champion, and three, he's just got that grit. You know, like, for instance, what I'm thinking is, if they're going to add an extra heavy carry-in, or they're going to add something a little bit more spicy because there's no hills, mountains, then I generally think that might favour Ryan. But, and then I would say, Sergei, you can't write off either. Okay, didn't have a very good, you know, it hasn't had really, since Abu Dhabi, he hasn't really done a lot, has he? But again, he can turn up and he can just race. And on that particular terrain, he looked super strong last year. Super strong.
I think it showed that he really trained super hard last year towards that race and was probably his best ever racing. I know in the past he's won the European Championships, he's won the Middle East Championships, but the performance last year to get between Ryan and John was pretty epic. That took some going. But I think fourth place from last year, Gregory Basilico. Now, I'm not 100% sure if he's going.
Yeah.
But I'm anticipating.
Boy is wickedly fast.
He's quick. Do you think, over 10K?
He is basically the European version of VJ, isn't he? Because he's about the same sort of age. They're very similar in stature. They're very similar in how they race. I don't know if Gregory's as good on obstacles, as in I haven't ever seen him in like a pure obstacle race opposed to Spartan. However, that boy, his 10K is something silly, isn't it? It is something silly.
Yeah. I think, despite his baby looks, I think Gregory might be a little older. Might
Do you think
be in
he is?
Oh,
I think he might be. I don't think he's as old as that.
It's got him down on the Spartan website as 34.
No way.
It does. But I don't know. That may not be true. Yes. Makes me feel bad about my 10K. Yeah.
Shit, really? That's me thinking he's like a young whippet.
So I think maybe those four.
Can we see anyone else? Anyone else, do you think?
Well, Nikolai has announced he's not going.
He's not going.
Because of financial. He's going to go to Sweden and crush some cross country.
Yeah.
Luca, Italian.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try and say his last name.
Pellegrini.
Yeah, he unfortunately had an injury earlier in the year, and I don't believe he's there. Albert Soleil, not 100% sure if he's going or not. I saw he has already got on a mountain bike, so he's probably called it a season.
That's it.
I think, yeah,
it's
they were
cool, isn't it? For like, I'm just thinking, like, if it had been anywhere else in the world, would you see all these athletes? Like, I think they did it last year because it's like they say the first time. This year, I've heard a lot of people say, nah, not for me this year. I did it last year. I do think that's the problem when you go to somewhere extreme like the desert. You're always going to get those people that go, yeah, you know, done it once.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's Europeans or you know, world champs in America, you tend to go back after back after, you know, like, so, yeah, I think it, not to water down the competition. I mean, I know that Lindsay and Ryan weren't planning on going. You know, it was just by chance they now are going because of other reasons. But, you know, it could have been an easy. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, Gregory's a good shout. I forgot about Gregory, actually.
Yeah, I think that those kind of four in the guys are probably going to be – it's going to be three out of those four.
Yeah.
We could have a wild card. We normally do get somebody that comes out of nowhere or at least makes like an indent, maybe takes a podium.
Maybe
or
one of the locals. I mean, last year those locals ran really well. Yes, they didn't have the pure obstacle talent per se, but the running was definitely there, some of the local guys.
Yeah, I think the first local guy last year came 11th.
Yeah, so that's not bad,
is it? That's pretty amazing. It is on that kind of course. It's pretty crazy. So let's flip to the female side.
Oh, that's easy. That's one and done, surely.
Yeah, there's a clear favourite, Lindsay Webster.
She's retired, isn't she? She might run it backwards. She might as well run it backwards. She's still going to win.
Oh. So I think probably her big competition is Alyssa Petrova.
Yeah.
She came third last year.
Yeah.
No, how far behind was she from Lindsay? So she was about... she was about 4 to 5 minutes down on Lindsay last year.
Yeah, so it's a long time, isn't it? I hate to say, I know, but it's a long time.
Not over a half marathon distance on sand.
Yeah.
I think you kind of think the back end of last year's course, if you think about it, most of the gnarly hills was the second half.
Yeah.
If she lost quite a lot of time on the second half, that could be where Lindsay made up her time.
Do you know what? My last year, right? So I'll tell you the story. So that second back half, I'm running quite well. No, I'm not. I'm tired.
I'm running well, / I'm dead.
I'm dead. I've got no head torch. So I can't see a damn thing because it started to get to about 4 o'clock. Dusky. And I came up to that last back section knowing there was a sandbag carry somewhere there. You know,
yeah.
And knowing
I thought they'd forgotten it.
Yeah, so did I. I'm like, there's no way. Where's this sandbag carry?
I was like, please.
I've seen the pictures, so I know it's there somewhere. Didn't even really think that it was the very last thing before you went over that hill. And I remember, I think at that time, me and Mark were together running, and I was using Mark's head torch. I was like, Mark, I'm not going to run away from you, mate, because I can't see a damn thing. And I need a head torch. And he sort of made this sort of like pact that, not that we'd run together, but we would support each other for the last sort of couple of miles of this race. And then,
so pretty much he wouldn't leave you in the desert.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because it's just me and him. And I tell you who else was there. That Jan from Germany. was there. He was just ahead of us. We were just basically doing like a three-way, now I'm on it, three-way race like for the last mile. And then all of a sudden you get that rabbit voice of someone that sounds far too like they're running far too quickly, thinking, oh shit, you know what that means? That's the first woman coming up behind us. And I said to myself, I'm not getting chicked. I am not getting chicked. And literally, as this guy ran past, obviously Lindsay was there. Lindsay did have a head torch. And I remember just running, and she was next to us, and I was like, right, let's just got to stay with Lindsay now. We've just got to stay. We can't get chicked. We just can't. Fortunately, we managed to pull away from her, and we didn't get chicked. But I do remember getting that sandbag carry thinking, oh, my God, I can't even lift this damn thing, let alone carry it. so, yeah. But, yeah, yeah. So I do remember Lindsay just, like, absolutely rocking the second half of that course last year.
Yeah, I think she always seems to get stronger in the back end of races, as does Ryan.
Here's a question, because there's a lot of time, especially the women's side, right? Okay, we know goats like Ryan Atkins, John Abb, and obviously we've been there, done that, spoke a lot about those guys. On the female side, how good is Lindsay Webster? This sounds silly. It's a silly, stupid question. I get that. And it's probably been covered lots of times. But how good is it? Because we see so many athletes, Ida, you know, Alyssa, now more recently, Emma Cook-Clark, you know, girls like that, that you look in isolation and you go, you're top quality. You are amazing. You know, Susanna Kotsamova. I can name a few, but let's be fair, they're always miles off Lindsay Webster. What makes Lindsay Webster just so bloody dominant, in your opinion?
Well, yeah, she is what statistically, and I think she's got the most OCR titles, the most winningest. She must be the most winningest OCR female, as or even athlete. She might be. That's her. I think Jack question.
I think Luke's making up words again. Winningest.
Hey, somebody proved that my made up word last week was actually a real word.
Wrong freaking content.
don't doubt me on these things. Yeah, no, that is Stephanie a stats Jack question. Yeah. We might have to ask him on that one. But I just think she is.
Look, she's a good runner. Obviously, she proves she's a good runner. No. She can do obstacles, but
no. Let's take the running. She is an amazing runner.
Fair enough.
She has gone to Sky Running now and won or been in the podium positions in Sky Running recently over the last year.
I get what you're saying. Let's reframe that then. Put her up against a runner. So not an OCR racer, a runner. What distance is she winning in the Olympics?
Oh, probably not the Olympics.
So she's not a runner then, is she? That sounds horrible. It sounds really wrong for me to say she can't go to the Olympics and do a marathon. But
She's probably a sky runner.
So you're talking mountain. Anything where there's a mountain.
Yeah, I think she's an amazing, like, top level elite mountain sky runner. Anything where there's a good amount of solid elevation or difference, but you got to look at the Olympic marathon is generally flat, fast, like complete marathon style effort, where Lindsay excels a lot more when it's a bit more gnarly, a bit hillier, where she's got some elevation, she's got some trudging to do. It's not just a flat, fast race, although she's not slow, but I don't think she's going to be like a Nell Rojas in the marathon or one of those. Well, you look, Nicole Merkel, she is one of the fastest OCR athletes. I would time-wise, like if you put Nicole on the flat or the track or something, I'd probably say Nicole is going to win that.
Yeah.
But then you put Lindsay on a hill or a bit more of a trail off-road style terrain, and she'd probably have a bit of a better advantage. Yeah. So
how does Lindsay win everything then? That sounds silly, but like, I know Nicole's been injured, and fair play to Nicole. She was there or thereabouts before she did get the horrible injury. However, you'd always still put your money on Lindsay. Is that because obstacles come into play? Is it because most obstacle sports is done on those gnarly terrains? Will we see a difference when it starts to come flatter, quicker, shorter, more media friendly? Do you think we'll start to see a change of the guards?
I don't know if you'll see a change per se. I still think a lot of the OCR guys and girls will still have a chance. They'll definitely still be up there when it kind of maybe has a bit more of a flatter element to the racing. But you got to look, Spartan as a brand are pretty synonymous with putting their races on in pretty gnarly environments, yeah. pretty elevated, hilly, mountainous environments.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to change. I don't see Spartan going, right, we're going to go to the track. We're going to hold our world championships.
Hey, this is Jonas Senna. Don't put anything past him.
No, I don't think they will. I think Spartan, pretty key with putting their world champs on at quite gnarly environments. So I don't think you'd see Lindsay like dropping off on that side.
Here's a question for you. Do you think she's got potential to be a Nell Rojas on the marathon side? Do you think if Lindsay went, right, screw it, I'm only going to do marathon training for a marathon time,
cool.
do you think Lindsay Webster has the ability to adapt to that type of stimuli?
It'd be hard to know without actually seeing her training.
I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see the stats. I guess like she's probably got a very high level VO2. She's probably got a great turnover that would go quite well on flatter surfaces. Like she could keep a good tempo, good cadence. But without looking at those kind of finer details, it's hard to say, yes, she could go against a top marathon person.
The distance clearly is an issue, is it? Like the endurance she's got, right?
No.
So it's just whether she's got that leg speed, that endurance.
I think you got to look, was it Jim Walmsley tried the American Marathon Trials? Yep. And you could take Jim Walmsley, one of the best off-road, probably the top three off-road male athlete ever.
Yeah.
You got Killian Jornet, Jim Walmsley, and then others, obviously. But and he didn't get close to qualifying as a male. So I think it's a very specific thing. Road racing, the marathon, especially being even more specific. So I think it's very hard to say. Yes, she is ultra dominant in OCR, Spartan, even now. Making her mark in Skyrunning, I think it's hard to say, oh, she could transfer that quite well to an Olympic stage for a marathon, but maybe she could transfer it to an Olympic stage for a pentathlon.
Interesting.
We don't know.
that's a whole nother podcast right there. A whole nother podcast. But yeah, so it's just interesting because like the men, they're obviously very similar, but when it comes to the women's side, Lindsay is a standout, clear favorite of everyone's, you know, everyone's going to say Lindsay, no matter whether it's flash back, you know, like any of those combinations of type of races, she's going to be the favorite. I just wonder what you thought the reason she is the favorite, opposed to, you know, there is obviously some better runners out there and there's the better. Do you think she's a good racer? Do you generally think how she races is very clever?
Oh, yeah. I think she's a very smart racer and she's done. I think she's raced long enough now to have that kind of mindset where she probably believes in herself. And maybe not, you kind of got to think maybe not before the race, that kind of time, but in the race, in the moment, I think a lot of those top people believe that they can do
100%.
It.
Yeah, 100%. And that's probably where like me and you, for instance, like let's bring it down a notch or two or three or four or five. You know, we possibly have these doubts in our heads. And this is where it comes to like, it doesn't really necessarily matter what physically you can do. It's what mentally you're thinking about, right? And how you preparation yourself for the race and for the, and actually we probably go into these races thinking, well, so-and-so's in it, so-and-so's there. Oh my God, I've got this niggle, this, that. And that's already putting you, you know, at the back of the pack or middle of the pack or not winning. I think, like you say, you've got to go in with the confidence of like winning it. And do you think also as well, that's being married to Ryan Atkins has helped her?
Because
he's like that, isn't he? He's very much like...
Of course. You know. Yeah, no, I think they've got that. You're a product of your environment a lot of the times. Yeah. They're both athletes, both living that lifestyle. I highly doubt they've got any excuses not to go and train. I think their lifestyle is more gauged towards making training very accessible, yeah. very easy, making it more fun,
yeah.
more enjoyable. You kind of see most of Ryan's social media content is him having fun while training, yeah. climbing,
cycling.
Yeah, doing whatever he's doing. And it's kind of...
dogs.
Yeah, yes. Another husky to the... or Malamo, yeah, whatever of cute animal they have now. But yeah.
You see it in other sports, don't you? You see it like if you take triathlon, for instance, the Brownlee brothers, you know, the brothers that literally live together for a lot of their, you know, growing up. You know, you've got the Klitschkos in boxing, another... A couple of brothers that are obviously spent, and you know, and I do think you have that, and if you can have that as a husband and wife, that's even better, right? You know, it's either going to work or it isn't. Let's be fair.
Definitely. I think, like we say, their environment is so gauged towards them being so good, and probably that kind of seeps into their mindset. We know they've got a mindset coach as well that helps them with a lot of stuff. I think I wouldn't put it past both of them to win again. I'll nail on that Lindsay's going to win.
Yeah.
It's not a detriment on the other females in the field, because hell, if you can go out there and beat Lindsay Webster at this race, you are going to be known forever. Yeah. Because that will be an amazing thing to happen.
Has she won the last? How many has she won? World champs, Spartan world champs. When was the last time she was beaten?
I think,
Nicole.
At the world champs, Nicole. Tahoe. So is that 2019?
Yeah, the year I went. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2019. Obviously, 2020 was a nothing year. 2021, she won. So I think. Yeah, other than that, she had obviously the Susanna Kotsamova years, where she came over and won a couple of world champs. So I think she's like two or three times world champ now. Yeah. So yeah, Lindsay obviously has overcome some great female racers or raced against them. Obviously, Nicole had an injury which has taken her out. Hopefully. She will be back at some stage.
She's racing this weekend, is she?
No, I haven't heard that she is.
I think we'd know if she was. I don't think she is. Should have asked her. I was talking about yesterday. I should have asked her.
Well, yeah. The journalist in you there.
Yeah, I forget what I do sometimes.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so that is the Spartan Race World Champs. Also, on the day after the main events, it is the 3K semi-trial, semi-event.
Oh, are they? Oh, this is new to me. I didn't know this. Tell me more.
So, let me pull up said information. There will be the Team World Championships, 3K Team World Championships on Sunday. It looks like this year they're doing the main events on December 3rd, which is Saturday, this Saturday coming. And then on the Sunday, they will be doing the 3K Team World Championships, which also has money. Steve Hammond posted on his Instagram story the breakdown for the team. I think it was 4K, 2K, 1K, or 4, 3, 1, something like that. It's split between three people, so yeah, it's still better than nothing.
How are the countries like they did last year?
I believe they are having countries, but they're also just having like open wave as well. It is Team World Champ co-ed, so it is generally probably two guys and a girl or something of that nature. So I think I saw somewhere that our team or the UK team will be Fergal, Jason and Andrea. I'm not 100% sure. Might have to reach out to those guys to make sure that that's correct. I'm sure they posted
is
that
there
somewhere.
Is any other any Brits going out? Is Fede going out? Or is she working?
I think Fede's working. Last time on her Instagram, I saw she was doing
obviously
some.
I'm not there. You're not there. Who else was there last year?
So,
who else was there? Mark's not going.
Mark was there.
Louise, she's not going. Libby's not going. So, yeah, I think it is. I think
it might just be those guys at the moment. But obviously, there's Connor.
Yeah, a lot of age groupers. Mitch.
A few age groupers as well. Mitch is out there. So, pretty much good luck to all of those guys. And if they can jump into the 3K team.
Do it. Cause it's great experience.
Yeah. You're going to think this format that they're going to use is probably going to be the format we'll see.
Are they broadcasting it?
2023? I haven't heard anything, but they didn't do much broadcasting last year, like live.
Yeah, I just wondered if they're doing a trailer effort, that they might try and broadcast it so we could watch from afar.
I think there'll be a lot of stuff on the social media, but... yeah, generally in the desert, I think the Wi-Fi might not be great enough for them to do a live broadcast.
They've got like built-in Wi-Fi to come out of the sand, don't they? Plug it in.
But also, they will be doing kids' races. There will be a sprint race, a super race on the Sunday as well. And just FYI, the age group's doing the beast course, not the super. They're going for the beast.
Which is Saturday.
They're starting first on the Saturday. They're starting at 9 a.m. The male elite race is starting at 4 p.m. and the female's 4:30. So, very interesting.
Keep hydrated, guys.
Yeah, and then 8 p.m. on the Saturday is the award ceremony. So... I'm sure all the official stuff will be there by then. That's pretty much that for the Spartan World Champs. We did have another bit of World Champs news. OCRWC, aka Adventure World Championship Race, has announced their location. It is Mammoth Lakes, California, USA. So they are having the same format as they normally do. They're having one weekend, five events. They got the 100 meter race, the 3K championship, the 15K team relay, and a 5K charity open as well. So there was obviously
on the same weekend as Spartan Pimperford. Woohoo!
Yes. There was obviously a lot of
non-communication.
Well, I don't know if it was
I've heard it go, we've got a race that weekend, we don't care, we're going to put it on anyway because it means lots of money for us. Woo! That's pretty much what it means.
I think, let's be honest, it is in another country.
No, I get that.
It's not in England. And generally, events, if you've ever ran an event or you've ever gone to an event, they normally start setting this process up months in advance.
Yes, yeah.
So, and I'm sure they didn't reach out to UK Spartan and go, when's your Pippingford weekend?
I think that particular weekend has got great significance now, which hasn't been announced yet. But... I do generally think it's going to be a big clash going forward, which is a disappointment for the UK athletes, 100%. But there's going to have to be some choices made. You know, you're either going to want to go to America to do the Adventure Championships. I'm going to stop calling them Worlds because soon they won't be able to call themselves Worlds. So I'm going to start calling them Adventure because that is their name. They are a brand. So you'll either choose to go to Adventure and do that in California, which would be lovely. And it would surely be a great course. Or you choose to stay at home and take part in Spartan and potentially other events that weekend.
I have a feeling a lot of people will stay at home. I think 2023 with FISO hopefully having their first World Championships in Belgium in September, I think a lot more people will opt to stay in Europe and do the FISO World Championships, while OCRWC is extremely popular and generally well attended by a lot of people around the globe. I think it is still a large expense to go all the way to the US and do that, whereas I think going to Belgium for a lot of people is a little bit more affordable.
Accessible for most Europeans as well.
Yes, it's more accessible. And I just think we're going to see more Brits and more Europeans, obviously, at that.
You have to qualify for it, though. So it's not going to be just like it is a proper world champ. So no offense to anyone else who's qualified for the Worlds. I'm not taking it away from you. What I mean is it isn't a case of doing a fun 5K run and qualifying for the Worlds. You actually have to qualify for these Pfizer World Champs. So effectively, the best of the best will be going, if selected, to Belgium, effectively. It's not just you can buy a ticket and play the game, right?
No, obviously, you're alluding to the age group. Age group section of OCRWC doesn't have qualification per se and hasn't since the COVID years. They are talking about maybe potentially bringing that back 2024. But the pro wave, the OCRWC still does have qualification. While it is not that stringent a qualification compared to Spartan World Champs and what the FISO will be offering. I think if you're looking, FISO is going to be the hardest, the OCR event championship to probably qualify for.
They're taking five of each age group, aren't they? Sorry, five per country.
So per federation, you'll have five males, five females per event.
In the elite category.
So In every category. Yeah. So in each age group, in elite, you will have five in each. So there is a large number. It's just that obviously in Spartan, you can have as many elites from the UK qualify or as many French elites qualify. Same with OCRWC, there's no limitations. Whereas in FISO, there will be a select number.
So theoretically, injuries bar aside and all that sort of thing, you know, you should get your five best male elite, five best female, five at age group for each of the age groups, right? And I also believe that if you qualify, you qualify age group first. So for instance, if I qualified, I'd qualify my age group of whatever age group I am, 34 to 39 or whatever it is. Then I would go elite, get bumped up to elite. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking.
So when the British Obstacle did the YouTube video, they kind of explained that there will be some select events. We'll use the nuclear trial race, 15K race as an example. If you are, I believe it's top three in that event, you will automatically have an elite place in that section. And then there will be a way for you to apply.
So there will be a couple of selections, wildcard style.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think they're leaving themselves obviously some wiggle room for people that may not be able to make that said event, may not be in the country per se, or injured. So there will be probably for all of the events, there'll be, especially for the pro or the elite section, there's an application side. And also in the UK, we are having a trial for the 3K and I believe the 15K.
So the 15K is so just a one-off race, which we know you just alluded to, is it nuclear, which will be the Challenge Cup. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to call it that, but it will be the Challenge Cup. Then the 3K, there's a few been announced. Obviously, there's one been announced. There's the Tartan Warrior, which we announced last week on our podcast, will be an official FISO qualification race for age group and elite. And then there's two. There's a time trial to be announced. And then I do believe there's another venue to be announced. I don't know if that's been announced, so I'm not going to say where it is. I do know where it is, but I'm not going to say, just in case it hasn't been announced.
It hasn't been announced. So don't say anything. But
basically, I think there is two more. So there's only one chance for the 15K to actually race and get a chance. And then there's three or four for the 3K. I'm assuming they've done that because the 3K, I don't know why they've done that. I assume it's difficult to put a 15K race on, right? Where it's a little bit easier to put a 3K race on, I assume.
Probably. I think, I don't know how many people from the 3K get directly in.
I think it's only one.
So I think it's the winner at those events.
Gets elite place and then everyone else is, you fight for it, basically.
well, anyone else will get their age group.
That's
place.
What I was saying earlier. So basically, you get one elite, and then if, say, for instance, I came third at Tartan Warrior, I would go in at my age group. Does that make sense? And then, for instance, if no one else then took those elite places, I'm assuming they'll wildcard the age groups, the better age group guys up. I'm assuming. I mean, I think they'll get the places. I think the competition will be there, right?
They'll get the places. So I think my anticipation is that they'll fill those three spots pretty easy in all of the elite section in the 3 and the 15. And then it will be down to either bumping someone up from their age group to be the fourth and fifth, or taking an application for the fourth and fifth.
Russia goes to a panel. Do a couple of years ago, COVID year.
Yeah. So I'm sure, though, British Obstacle will correct us if we are wrong, or will put out some more information, because currently they only have the YouTube video with the information on. While it was very informative, it's very hard to flick through the YouTube video and try and scroll through to find, which I've done. So would love a little drop down or just a web page with that British Obstacle if you could. We've hit on that. We've hit on Fizo. To continue the world champs kind of theme, there has also been more information / controversy in, not in OCR, in Ironman. Another world champs that is a branded world champs, obviously Ironman, one of the strongest sports brands.
And by the way,
this
really annoys me when people say they've done an Ironman, they haven't actually done an Ironman. Not distance, fine, but an Ironman.
Is it because you've got the tattoo?
Okay, it's a brand. It's like saying I've got a Hoover. No, you haven't. You've got a Vax. So you've got. It's not a Hoover.
Don't bash Henry.
Henry's a great Hoover. No, it's not a Hoover. A vacuum.
Vacuum. So, Ironman World Champs has announced that they will be splitting their World Championships between two venues going forward. Obviously, Hawaii and Nice, by the sounds of it, has been the chosen locations. They will be splitting it as per. They will have the males at one location 1 year, females at one location 1 year, and then they will switch every year.
God, you'd be super screwed if you both were like married to each other in one Dubai World Championship. You'd be like, what?
Well,
is there any world champion couples in Ironman? There must be. There must be some couples.
I'm sure there's some couples that are both
racing,
elite racers or age group racers that are spending thousands to get to these events. I've heard Hawaii is one of the most expensive.
Surely, once
to race
in a lifetime,
if
you got to Hawaii, that is just you'd go. Oh, yeah. Just even if it cost you the earth, you'd go.
Yes, probably.
I have no house. I'm living in a cardboard box, but I went to Hawaii.
Yes, I've got my finisher's medal. This is obviously super interesting because it has been pretty much just known forever that Hawaii World Champs is the Ironman World Champs. That's always synonymous with this island. Obviously, they have had issues since COVID. I heard that there was a lot of accommodation issues this year. There seems to be a lot around online with people not being able to go or people having to spend lots of money on accommodation. But what's your thoughts on a dual
it's a big
world
move,
champs?
Isn't it? For such a big company like Ironman to actually make that move, they obviously understand and know. They've obviously looked at the background of it and gone, this is going to work. Well, I hope they have. Otherwise, they need to sack someone in their team. Obviously, they know they're making the right move because they wouldn't do it otherwise, I wouldn't say. But it's interesting that such a big move's happening in such a big company. And Ironman tend to get things right, don't they? A lot, you know, like, especially if you look at OCR, we're trying to follow that same structure of how Ironman specifically, but triathlon does things with like the elite cards and things like that. So I generally do think triathlon don't tend to get it wrong very often. But hey, they get something wrong first time. It might, you know, this might be a mistake. Who knows?
But this is a question for you. If you qualified for the World Champs and your qualification year fell in Nice,
you'd be bummed.
Would you defer? Would you defer?
Like I said, Hawaii is just one of those. It has, like you say, it, even if... Right, okay. So when I did triathlon, we did Ironman. At the time, in 2015, Ironman triathlon wasn't this huge thing it is now. Obviously, triathletes, clubs, they knew what it was. But the general bod didn't really have any idea. But now, if you say to someone Ironman, they automatically know what that is. It's such a thing people know, you know.
Is it like Tough
exactly
Mudder and OCR?
Even bigger, even bigger. But then they'll say to her, that, oh, that's the one that's Hawaii. Because if it's on TV, they normally show that one at like 4 o'clock in the morning on Channel 4. But it's normally that's the one that's been shown, you know, like people know with that one. And Nice is beautiful. It is lovely. And if I was to do an Ironman, that's the one I'd go and do because it's just like, yeah, lovely. But really, Hawaii, Nice, you know, it's a bit like, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's been rumored Nice, so I don't know what where specifically will be, but it seems to be that that is the choice. I think if you're
trying to make it more accessible for Europeans, you're what they're trying to do.
I think maybe yes, probably. I would say a lot of people are struggling to. While you're saying yes, you would want to go to Hawaii, it's still a lot of money. I know if you're in triathlon, you're probably already in the mindset that you're going to be spending
and this is
a
the
lot
thing,
of money.
Right? And like if you look at the pro level athletes at triathlon, they're all sponsored. All they'll you know, like Red Bull and companies like all the bike companies will be involved. So the money is there, right? They'll get covered to go. The top 10, top 15, 20 girls even will probably get paid to go, you know. So it's not them guys that we're really thinking about. It's that mass market below all your top end age groups and your very good elites that potentially haven't got that support, you know, of thousands of pounds worth from Trek or thousands of pounds worth from Red Bull. Same in any sport. I mean, football, Americanized sports and football are probably the only ones that buck the trend where there's money at very low level still, right? Whereas the sports that we're trying to achieve in, generally, unless you're world class, there's no money.
Yeah, I think if we keep it to endurance sports, so we use what you said about Ironman, we bring that to OCR, you're probably shrinking that to the top five. So you're looking at like top 5 to 10 guys, top 5 maybe to 10 girls, still might not get paid to go out there. You still might have to fund your own flights or some part of all your own
the
flights.
The logistics as well, you know, like these guys have families. And Ironman, when I did it, Ironman was an older man game. It wasn't a young game sport, whereas it is now. These guys are young. They are like 21,
now.
22, 23, you know, maybe even like dad age. They're probably having their first babies. You know, especially the women, you know, like, it's difficult, man. Just logistically, it's difficult.
Well, who is it? Magnus Ditlev just won. Was it Cosimo? And he's
that's
24.
That's a young age.
to absolutely decimate, not just win an Ironman, decimate an Ironman. And he also did really well at the World Championships. And yeah, he's crazy. And obviously you've got Gustav Iden and Christian Blumenfeld, who are ridiculous. Yeah. And they're still pretty young. They're still pretty ridiculous as well. Magnus Ditlev, 24, Danish.
I know.
What's with these Danes?
Can't not hit
them.
Quite a World Cup though.
So, sorry guys. Couldn't have it all. Or could be Wales. Didn't even score a goal.
No, Luke. I'm not editing that. We love you, Wales. Quickly, move on. Because you say this, right?
That kind
of. Okay. So we all know this is what's happening in OCR at the minute. Endurance sports are fun. They are, train harder. They are boring for the general bod, though. Right, we love it. We'll go run around a field for 15 hours. That's not a problem. But like you say, a company, companies, media, are not going to get involved unless there's something in it for them. So for instance, what I mean is, say for instance, we qualified for, Adventure Racing, you know, Yes. Yeah. Right, we've got to go to, I don't know, Tunisia. Tunisia, we've got to have £8,000 to get our bikes over there, do this, do that, do it. It's a lot of money, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We're ridiculous. Never going to get a company to sponsor you unless there's an it's for them, right? And the problem is, when you're saying, well, we're going to be out there 3 days doing a rate, oh, God, I'm bored already. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get that, which is why all these sports, it's happening in OCR right now, it's happening in triathlon right now, are getting, how can we get cooler? You know, how can we get more trendy? How can we get more, you know, even Instagram, look at Instagram and YouTube, shorts. You know, gone are the days where people sit and watch YouTube for half hour. I mean, I still do because I'm a boring fart, but gone are those days where people actually want to sit and watch a vlog for 20 minutes. You know, they want to be there, done, 20 seconds in, out, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know, but sport is going that way as well. Yeah. 2020 cricket, darts, Super League triathlon, you know, now OCR with the 3K stuff, 100 meter, ninja, you know, it's difficult because I get you have to have the money and the branding for a sport to work to get to these guys to the higher levels of these elite championships. But it ain't going to happen unless the sport is fun. And I just feel like you're always going to cut your market every time you change the sport. You're always going to have a group of people that do not want to go to Nice. They want to go because it is,
of course,
because it is Hawaii, you know. It's just always going to happen.
Yeah, but this is probably one of the reasons why OCR are trying to make it towards becoming a recognised sport. To become an Olympic sport is because there is additional funding for your sport. This is why a lot of traditional sports, when you watch the Olympics, how many sports on there do you think, I never see this? Where do I ever see this on TV? Quite a lot of those sports you're never going to see on TV unless it's Eurosport or some obscure sports channel. And they are propped up by...
Normally...
National funding.
Or backing they're propped from up by national someone that's funding. Very rich, right? Because he's into it, or his son is, or whatever.
He loves archery, and he's got the archery team. But
look at cycling. So cycling is a great example of that. You know, Sky came in on cycling, went, right, we're going to have a world-class team. You know, 10 years later, Ineos, you know, they've had some amazing guys come through their ranks. They've got one of the best coaches in the world. Oh. You know, they've got the best nutritionist. They've got, you know, just proves to you the money in a sport. I mean, race car driving is built around money. You know, a lot of Americanized sports are built around money. OCR is not. It's very pure. It's very grab your dirty old trainers, find a field, and let's get dirty. But I kind of like that. And do you think we're losing that? Do you think this is what, like, your Lindsay Websters are saying? Do you think we are losing the heart of why we do this sport?
I think it'll always be there. As much as the sport will grow and the sport will have to grow at some point.
It has to. Like, we have to have federations. We have to have Pfizer. Yeah, we have to have British Obstacle Sport. People need to sign up to that stuff, because without them, we won't have training facilities. We won't have coaches. We won't have races. We won't have prize money. We won't have spot, you know, like all those things rely.
Yeah. And it's not that they are going to make the popular decision, let's say, or let's say they're not going to go the popular route. Like, not everybody's going to want to be an Olympic sport, or not everybody's going to want to have a federated race in wherever. But they're going to make the decisions that are going to make the main things are going to make the sport safer. They're going to make it just regulated. So there's going to be obviously coaches, and they're going to be regulated coaches within the sport. They're going to have safety aspects to all the races that they oversee, or that kind of stuff. They're going to offer more opportunities to the kids, to the youth. They're doing it for the kids, guys. Come on. So there's going to be those kind of things. You kind of just got to look at triathlon or running and just kind of see, like, how many run clubs out there are there? Hundreds of thousands in the UK. There's, you can't literally,
there's one set up every week probably,
pretty much. And it's great. How many people go to part run? How many part runs there? It's amazing that that kind of infrastructure is from a sport of running. OCR might not have that similar infrastructure just because of the elements that are part of OCR, as in
Park Run must be one of the biggest, possibly the biggest, non-profit organizational sports out there, right? Participation-wise.
It's got to be, yeah.
How,
I think so.
How cool is that, though?
Yeah, well, yeah,
how,
definitely.
How cool is it that actually someone somewhere had this brainwave that Park Run would be a great idea for you know, general health, which it is, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think I have a love-hate relationship with Park Run. I do like the idea of getting people out there to run, and I think for the mass people that do it, brilliant. I also think there is a bit of a, I've got to go win and get my PB every weekend. I don't like that idea of it. But from a general getting off your bum and getting and doing a run, brilliant. Well done. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But what a clever brainchild idea that was.
Of course. Absolutely an amazing idea that was probably born from just a thought, just one kind of thing. Which most sports are.
How do you start that? How do you even go, right, everyone, we're going to have a Park Run? And then someone will go, I'm going to have a Park Run. I'm going to have a Park Run. How does that even work? Let's get the owner of Park Run and let's find out how it actually started. That'd be a great conversation.
That's it. Well, we'll have to look into that one. But you kind of just got to look what they've done with those kind of sports and other things to see what OCR can become. We're getting very caught up at the moment, or there's a lot of talk about different things, who's doing what, who's looking after what. Which I think is great. We need to know the answers. We need to hear about why something's happening or why something didn't happen. Like you're saying. there's obviously different things, different people having chats, but it's good. It's nice to hear why something happened or what's going on, that kind of stuff. So it's interesting. I think we're at a very
transitional period.
We're at a key point in OCR because you're right. We are moving towards the flashy, short course, very TV, very spectator friendly style. But also on the other side, we seem to be having your classic style. We're trying to go to the Olympics on one side as well. So it's an interesting time.
At some point, right? And this is what we've said is going to happen for ages. You're going to get your specialist athletes, you know, like your ones that stick towards your 3K, your ones that stick towards that traditional OCR, your 15K, your longer distance, your Spartan athletes. I mean, you're even going to get some athletes that don't do anything other than Spartan, other than Tough Mudder, other than nuclear. You know, you do get those guys out there. And of course, majority of the people do it just for pure fun. You've got to remember this. I mean, we do it at an elite level, but there's a lot of guys out there that just do this for, fuck it, I'm going to go do a nuclear race, you know, like for pure fun.
Of course. I thought we were just the Spartans.
We are, I think. No, I'm not. I got dropped a long time ago, mate. I'm a no one now.
No, I thought we're just the guys that just do Spartans.
Well, but let's not go there. That's for another podcast.
We'll
reconvene in December or next year, and we'll see who was just the Spartans.
No, you're right though. I think somebody we've had on the podcast before, and he's pretty well known in the world of OCR, Leon Kapoor, he, to my mind, he's been one of the first guys to come out and say, look, I'm pretty much a specialist at this distance. I will do other stuff for the fun, but when I'm competing, I'm a 3K guy.
Some video of Leon a little while ago, actually, and I was thinking, do you know what's really interesting? Is when he does 3K, that is Leon Kapoor. That you see him as an elite athlete.
Oh, yeah.
When he's running 15K, and even though he's taking it seriously, he knows in his mindset that this is not his race. You know, he is there to make up number. Don't get me wrong, he's a phenomenal athlete and he's still going to do very well in those longer days. But he knows that he's not going to be able to compete against your John Abrams, your Ryan Atkins, your BJ Jones in the longer stuff. He gets that. And he races with a smile on his face.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like most of Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah. Never seen Abu a Dhabi happier racer.
And we're just chatting shit the whole way around. It was brilliant fun. Do you know what I mean? And he wasn't taking it seriously. But then you see him at 3K and it's like, no, this is my jam. This is what I've trained all year to do. I'm now in serious mode. Now, I love that. And I do think we need to see that more in OCR.
Yeah. And I'd highly doubt you'll see many people go to a championship and not do the 15K. Because most races have the 3K first, then the 15.
However, Fizo is going to change that. You'll see, right? Because you're going to get some guys there that only do 3K, and some guys there, if they get through,
yeah,
we won't get many, I don't think, unless you're John Abbott, again, Ryan Atkins potentially, you won't get many that will do both.
I don't think you will at the elite end. I think you might get a few 100%. People in the age group ranks that will be able to do everything. It will be different. But it does take not like a mindset, but not to be caught up in that kind of like, oh, I really just want to go out and race. I think OCR does give you one of those things. You just want to do the full weekend. You want to get out to every race. I know I've done it many times. I've gone to a spa.
I think we can all openly admit that we've
cleared
the weekend to try and focus on one race. And next thing you know, you've done the whole freaking trifecta and you're knackered. You know, you can't even run. You can't even run the sprint that day because you're like, oh. Sometimes it's harder to make that decision to say, do you know what? I am just going to watch today.
Yeah.
It is difficult because it's just FOMO over and over again. But like I found, actually, there are ways that you can be involved in the racing without being involved. And most races now love cameramen. You know, they want people to take pictures, run with the course, especially if you can run. You know, so I would suggest if you're one of those guys that, even if you're an age grouper, right, and you... I don't know, you've got a Sunday race, you're trying to save yourself, go out and just say to the guys, look, I want to help out, maybe volunteer, maybe do some camera work, get involved in the race on the day before. And trust me, that's going to give you confidence as well for the next day, you know.
I've seen some pretty good.
You know, not played them, but you know, like, I recommend if you're that type of person that really wants to be involved, but, you know, finds it hard not to race, then... start volunteering, start helping out here and there if you can. It's amazing actually what it gives back without actually racing.
There you go. Cool. Jack's call to arms.
Right, I'm going to finish this off, guys, Luke. And I'm going to, because we've been going an hour and people are bored of our voices. We're obviously both coaches. I want you to give me a coaching tip for this week. So, like, we're into winter now. There's no real races. Give us Luke de Ben's favorite thing to do in his off season. Like, what's a 1-2, and it could be a run, it could be a session, it could be whatever, your weights, whatever it is. Just give us a very quick go-to exercise, quick go-to session that you do or recommend.
My kind of general stuff now is base building. So it's getting in those longer, slow but steady runs. I'm still not pushing it to the super long distance.
What's long?
Yet.
Do you go by distance or time? What's long for you personally?
I generally go by distance. I normally do my runs by distance, and then I normally look at the time for the distance. Like, I'm doing easy run like 7:15 or 7:30, whatever I'm going to be doing it at, depending on which distance. What I've been doing recently is doing a run out to a new rig, stopping at the rig, doing a bit of a body weight, an easy body weight session, and then I'm running back. So kind of breaking it up a little bit. It's not very specific per se just yet. It's a bit more flat, a bit more easy running, but yeah, just kind of build that base. It's winter, races aren't starting for a fair amount of time, 3-4 maybe 5 months for most people, so it's about building that big base now. What about yourself, Jack? What's your tip?
I like the fact that the base, I'm all about that as well, all about the base.
But
I'm gonna add on to that. I like the fact you said body weight, because I think the thing is, a lot of people go straight into like, yeah, manly weights, woo, and I think that's dangerous. I generally think if you've been a lifter before, then great, you know what you're doing. But I think people do underestimate a body weight workout, and I love the fact that you're putting it mid run, because you're still keeping that specificity there, without actually being too regimented and strategic about it. So I think keeping it playful is great fun, and I think body weight workouts actually are very underestimated. I'm going to add to that, also the same with grip. I think don't forget your grip, and that doesn't mean necessarily playing on rigs. It can be as boring as picking up something heavy with your grip is, you know, equally as good for the base grip session. So yeah, there's my go-to coaching week. I think it's good just to give the listeners an idea of what we're doing opposed to what we're chatting about as well.
Yeah, and if you've got any base building workouts throughout the winter, let us know. Drop us in drop us over on Instagram, and if we think they're pretty good, we'll shoot them out in the story.
Them. That'd be quite interesting. Giving them a go. Yeah, give us a best.
There we go.
Let's keep the session rules. Let's keep it, you know, let's keep it within 5 minutes, please. You know, well, at least, you know, don't give me like a 5 hour session, you know.
That was what I was going to send in.
no chance.
Go on. All right. Well, there we go, guys. That is our little roundup of what is to come in the World Champs. We've hit on pretty much all the OCR World Champs, thrown in a little bit of Ironman
news for
good fun.
Guys, please do just like post on the talk to us, chat to us on the Instagram, wherever you're reading this from. Leave comments because we do read them and we will get back to you, and we do like that interaction. So yeah, more interaction is more fun, gives us more topics to talk about in the future as well, and guests. You know, we'll hit nutrition, we'll hit coaching if that's what you prefer, we'll hit news, we'll hit a bit of everything. We're here just to chew the fat really on a bit of everything, you know, endurance sport. So yeah, please do comment on anything platform you use. That's 148. Well done, Luke.
Cheers, guys.